Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Rolling right along on a Monday. Welcome back to Sports 56 Mornings, the Monday, April 20th, 2026 edition to be exact. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you, broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. They got their hot tub and swim spa going on right now. It's going on through May 10th. The Battle of the Brands, as they say, the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo. Currently 58 degrees, going to warm up to 79 today. Plenty of sunshine. Next 3 days look to be real nice. Got some more weather coming in. Looks like for Friday and the weekend, hopefully won't be as bad as the forecast is right now. Mother Nature needs to cooperate because I got some plans, Mother Nature. Thank you very much. It is Monday. It is time to talk some Tigers baseball.
It's time to talk University of Memphis baseball with Tigers head coach Matt Reiser. Brought to you by Landers Nissan and Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in South Haven. If it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much. Here's Coach Reiser with Greg and Eli.
Oh, and the Tigers are rising up the standings in the American Conference. He is the head coach of the Memphis Tigers baseball team, Matt Reiser, who is always good to us, even when it's not going well. Well, right now, it is going well. Five straight wins, a perfect 4-0 week, and a three-game sweep of the Rice Owls over the weekend on the road in Houston, Texas. Good morning, Coach, and congratulations on the nice run.
Good morning, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Yeah, it was nice weekend. Beautiful weather and good baseball. And I told you, don't let me back in the studio unless I came back with a couple wins.
So, you said that.
Hey, man, I had to keep up my end of the bargain. You let me in this morning. It was good to see you.
Well, barely. We had the doors locked for some reason, but we went out and got them open.
You got to keep making us earn it.
We forgot to tell them that you guys won.
I love it.
It was... Look, it was much needed. You knew you were close. We've seen bits and pieces. Unfortunately, only bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But you put it all together. Why this run? Why has it worked so well? And how did you go down to Houston, a good team, at home, their place, and sweep them?
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, Greg, again, just looking for the consistency. And this can go back to FAU last Sunday. I thought we played well. You know, I thought we played decent on that Saturday. And lost a tight one and a tough one. Obviously didn't play well Friday and that big loss we had there. So, you know, going back to Tuesday, it's like, okay, the biggest thing we wanted to do was let's build. Let's see if we can go back-to-back days with playing well. And we won Tuesday night, and Mississippi Valley is much improved. CJ's done a great job over there. They threw a couple arms. We're up to 93. And to be honest with you, you rarely see that in that league and in that caliber. So you just see the talent pool we talk about, right? The parity is starting to continue to increase throughout the entire entity of college baseball. But, hey, I didn't like where we were at. And the play wasn't necessarily bad. I just watched our attitudes a little bit and our body language a little bit. And so we had a little conversation after the game that, hey, man, this is what I'm trying to get through your head that you have got to understand. We've got to find consistency play, but if you can't find consistency in who you are or showing up to the ballpark and how your attitude is and what your body language is, then it's hard to find consistent plays. So we've got to be better at that. And then also that rolled into the weekend. We knew the weekend Rice could really pitch it, man. They've pitched it really well all year long. They were coming off a sweep of Charlotte, you know, sitting in second place in the league and all the good stuff, right? All the factors that go into, hey, man, it's going to be a tough weekend. We need to grind it out. So really proud of our hitters. We challenged them. Said, hey, man, we've got to be offensive this weekend. When I say offensive, I'm not saying we got to go knock out 15, 16 hits. This is not a staff. You're going to knock out 15 or 16 hits. You've got to throw the punches and the bangs and make them have some meaning behind them and get do it with some weight. And we did that this weekend consistently throughout the entire weekend. So just great to see that, you know, we were able to respond to that part of it, that they were able to answer the bell. Obviously, the pitching was fantastic for us as well, outside of really one inning of baseball. Even the four runs they scored in game three, couple balls dinked in, and then they got a couple two-out hits. So at the end of the day, man, overall good weekend, and we're starting to find that consistency. But what we found consistency, more importantly, was who we are, right? Of showing up to the ballpark, how we're going about our business, how we're handling our body language with inside the game. I think that's really important for us to find it on the field as well in our play.
All the games are a little bit different, but you have, of course, the suspended game with weather, which is always a complicated thing to begin with. But that last game to rally the way you did late in the game, coming back, then get it into extra innings, and then win it in extra innings. I mean, that's got to feel real good to kind of end the weekend just on that with that comeback victory.
100%, Eli. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Just the way it kind of all, you know, kind of manifested. You know, we're up by a couple runs. Hey, man, they've got a ball kind of falls in here. Ball falls in here. They come up with a couple two-out knocks and good at-bats. And then also they got a 4-2 lead. They're able to add one more. I mean, Gupton's an inch away from making an incredible play in the gap. Hits off his glove. They get a triple out of it. And they get the guy in 5-2. So now we're down by three. And they bring their dude. I mean, he's up to 98 miles an hour. I mean, it's a good arm. It's a good breaking ball. It looks like a tight end up there. He's 6'8", 260. Oh, so if we get in a bench clearing brawl, I'm going back to my football days trying to chop him at the knees, right? I'm not going high. I'm going low. But we do a really good job with him. We have some quality at bats. Bertie McAbee, you know, he's been swinging the hot bat. He gets a good swing off and hits a solo home run. Now all of a sudden it's 5-3. We lead off the ninth with like an identity of what I want. Hey, man, we stay in there. We take our HBP first pitch of the inning, and all of a sudden the whole thing starts to kind of manifest. We get a guy who hasn't played all weekend, Jack Pitts, had a pinch hit earlier in the game to kind of get some things going, had a little bit of an inning going, took a great walk. Now he gets a big knock to all of a sudden put the tie and run at third base, right? And so just the way it manifested out and the way it played out, to where we put Logan Rushing at the end of the game. And Logan started, obviously, the Tuesday game, and we'd had the conversation, hey, this is what we're kind of doing. The reason we're not throwing you five or six innings in the midweek is because we need you, importantly, on when it presents itself right on the weekend. It laid out perfect. Down by two, hey, man, Rush, if we happen to go to extra innings, you've got plenty of longevity to give us three or four innings. And lo and behold, there he is. If we tie it up in the ninth, we go with the extra innings, and then obviously finish it off there in the tenth.
Has the attitude of the team been pretty much consistent even through tough times and now good times?
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, the worst I've seen it was Tuesday night against Mississippi Valley.
Really? And,
yeah.
Why is that?
You know, maybe we identify with the opponent. Maybe there were some things in our head that, you know, maybe some guys got a little selfish of what that should or shouldn't look like. And I told them at the end of the day, let me make those decisions, right? You just stay bought into what we're doing, and we're going to be in really good shape. Control the things that you can control. You always hear that. Control the controllables. Control the controllables. And so, the thing that I'm proud of them on for this week is the fact that they responded to that conversation. You know, hey, man, I'm not going to sit back. We're watching college baseball. We're watching coaching, right? We got transfer portal. We got NIL. We've got people making over $1 million in college athletics, and then just, you know, we got these corporate sponsorships that are coming in to buy the conferences out for billions of dollars. All this money being thrown around, we want to keep the purity of what the game looks like. And so in that, we can't get selfish. We can't start thinking it's all only about me. It's got to be about the team. And so we had that conversation there on Tuesday night, and I thought they responded really, really well to that for the weekend.
With the suspended game on Saturday, how tough is that, especially when you've got the lead, but I'm sure you want to finish the game. But then you're like, oh gosh, now we got to wait all the way to tomorrow. Got to sleep on this, figure things out. What are the complications or the difficulties of that?
You know, we had that conversation. I think the conversation is, who the heck do you throw, right? Like, hey, man, we had the guy coming in. We kind of had all the plan, and now we're going to say, okay, see you 24 hours later and start this thing up again for a two-inning game. And again, everybody's kind of making, hey, well, you know, that really helps you or it really hurts you because you're doing this, you're doing that. Hey, man, at the end of the day, it's still going to be two innings we got to play tomorrow regardless. And so we went with what we were going to kind of presently do in the day before. And, you know, we felt convicted in running Sanders out there. We felt convicted in running Fair if it got into trouble and being able to finish off the two innings. He went 41 pitches yesterday and finishing that game off. So we knew what that kind of looked like. But, yeah, to be honest with you, Eli, I was glad we got that first one done because the monkeyness that was going on in there, oh my gosh, man, it was kind of scratching your head a little bit. And then obviously they're animated, we're animated. You got the same home plate guy from yesterday, so he's technically like doing day two of a plate, right? I mean, he had seven innings the day before. He's come back doing another two innings the next day, and all the warnings and all the official warnings and the tapping and whatever you want to call it, we had tampering or whatever with some rosin bag, all this carries over from the next day. But it was like, hey man, that was 24 hours ago, we're still gonna talk about this. Well, yeah, still on the books, you know, like, okay. Okay. Wow, can we just get done with the game? And so for us to handle what we did in the bottom of the eighth, to throw the last punch in the top of the ninth, and also to take that series, I think was just awesome to see. We're handling the adversity and the things inside the game much, much better. We talk about it. Speed limit's 55, man. Go 55. Like, just don't throttle down the gas. Don't burn the whole tank. Hey, man, we need to go a little faster than just putting around, right? Do a good job of staying consistent. And we saw that in the beauty of this, Eli. We saw – is we saw their dugout do the exact opposite, right? We saw them on Friday night all of a sudden in the eighth inning, like, all right, let's go, guys. Like, try to ramp up and, you know, yeah. after just being like a 10 the whole night, right? And Howell was a big part of that, right, the way he pitched. But then all of a sudden on Sunday, it's the same thing. They're all out there, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden they score a run, and now it's back to zero again, you know. So I thought our guys just did a really good job staying even keel, and therefore we have the comeback late, right? Therefore we handled the nonsense at the end of the game two. Mm-hmm. Therefore we sweep the weekend.
Tigers Baseball Report with Coach Matt Reiser, brought to you by Landers Nissan in South Haven, Mississippi. Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram also in South Haven. Again, a big thanks to Jeff Field, the former Tiger, all the great folks at Landers. The lineup consistently now has been producing from top to bottom. You have adjusted things. You've moved around things. We talked a little bit last week of Javon Hernandez being moved into that two slot, which has been a great move. Maccabee getting his opportunity, seizing that opportunity. Marcus Smith all of a sudden was on the side of the milk cartons for a while there. Mm-hmm. You've got him back now producing. Mm-hmm. So you're finding, it seems like, consistency from top to bottom.
Well, we're finding the right pieces to play at the right time. Right?
Exactly.
And so, like we talked about, offense is going to come and go a little bit. And so, hey, man, you know, Marcus, yeah, he got the shot early, didn't work out right. But instead of pouting, right, instead of blaming somebody else, instead of like, oh, woe me, why am I not getting the opportunity, and feeling sorry for himself, he just went back to work.
Right.
And he's worked and worked and worked. And here's the other part about this, Greg. He can play defense too. So, like, when you're defensive, you have a chance to have another opportunity or two. There's only one DH spot. When you can play multiple positions, right, being an outfielder, he is. You play all three, left, center, or right. It gives you some more opportunities if a guy goes down or you want to play a little more defensive in the night, face a left-handed hitter, pitcher, whatever it may be. It's giving him a lot more opportunities. So, because of that, now he gets in there and he throws a huge punch there on Saturday, man. That home run he hit was just awesome to see, even to the sac fly yesterday. You know, he punches out the bat before on the guy in game three on the breaking ball, right? Hey, man, fool me once, shame on right me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? The second time he goes up there and then handles it and gets the sac fly to tie the ball game. And it's like, hey, man, that's what it looks like. So, again, let's just find the pieces, right? We've seen some guys come in, some guys go out, but this is why it's a team sport. This is why you got to stay ready. This is why you don't have time to pout and be white-collar. You got to be blue-collar to be part of this lineup.
We talked a little bit about it, but just overall, I mean, from the starting pitching to what you said, like, rushing did and relief, like, you had to be really happy with the way you guys pitched the
Yeah, through the whole week, to be honest with you. Even against Mississippi Valley, I mean, I thought Valley, again, much improved. CJ's done a great job improving that club. They beat Bethune-Cookman, who's in the top 25 for mid-major poll the week before. So, like, it's a good club, man. They do a good job. So the watch is navigate that lineup a little bit with a few guys. I thought Nolan McCracken threw fantastic for us. There's some other guys who didn't throw on the weekend who threw really well in the midweek. Again, just presenting some opportunities for us. So very pleased with what we did. To see Howell bounce back from just such a bad outing last week, right, and just I knew he was down in the dumps a little bit about it, but knowing who he is and what he is, hey man, can't bother me, don't bother me, right, take a look, hey man, he goes back out there on Friday night and just gives us the right demeanor, right, what Case is able to go out there and do, just pitched his behind off. I don't know if he had his best stuff, but man, could just really, that's probably the best pitching performance I've seen him actually have in his outing. So I'll see the Garner, what he did there on Sunday as well. So now this is making this, you know, a little bit more, I don't say easier, but making a little bit more structured in what we're trying to do with the bullpen. Hey, man, we can go here. And then all of a sudden at the bullpen, we pitch like we're supposed to. Like, oh, okay, so we don't have to get somebody loose in like 10 pitches? Like, great, fantastic. Keep doing what you do. Yeah, you got three. You got the six. You got these three. And just the matchups are starting to kind of manifest themselves organically.
Well, and that's the thing with when you get a guy like Howell. If you get 7 innings out of your starter on Friday night, I mean, that seems like that sets you up so well for the weekend.
Sets you up great. And then now you see Caden Robinson back, and now you can bridge a gap with Caden, right? And so he takes the eighth, and Fair takes the ninth, and doesn't have to. So therefore, because Caden's able to do that on Friday, Fair's able to do what he does on Sunday. And so that's where all these pieces help. They help other guys perform. You go perform. You help the next guy next to you perform better because he's not having to, you know, make 3 outings in a weekend. He's not making 3 outings in a week. He's being able to do some things. You know what I realized, Greg?
What's that?
Whenever we win, I get to talk a little bit more. It's kind of nice.
Did you foresee Carson Fair being – he's one of the top closers in the country, not just in the conference.
Yeah.
Did you foresee that?
100%. If you're around Carson and you know how much he loves Memphis and you know how much he loves the university and this place, and you watch the competitor side of him, you watch him at Pearl River pitch and pitch for a national championship down the team down there, he's just got the demeanor. He's got the it factor. And so, you know, he's going to have some outings where you're like, oh, man, wish we got it better. But you know what you're getting. You're getting consistency every time out. And I think that's the part as coaches, right? That's what we want more than anything. You know, do we love to win every game? Absolutely, right? But when you find consistencies in who they are and showing up and how they compete, then you find a lot more wins than losses for sure. So, yeah, to answer your question, honestly, Greg, I saw the stuff and went, yeah, I'd hate trying to hit that breaking ball for sure. But then to see the demeanor of who he is and what he is, man, the way he handles situations, absolutely saw this coming and proud of the young man to keep going.
So this week you get Mississippi State, who's one of the best teams in the country, top 20 team. Then you've got UAB, who's tied atop the conference. So this is obviously a big week for you guys. What kind of challenges does this present?
Yeah, you know, it's another good week for us. You know, where I challenged the offense last week with Rice and knowing what they are from what they've been kind of been pitching in defense all year long and winning games. UAB's done a really good job. I'm not saying they can't pitch. They got a few guys in there that can really pitch and have had outstanding outings, but they've really swung the bat well. So now it's time to challenge the pitchers. Hey, man, we need to repeat what we did last week. Pitch again this week like you did. And Mississippi State, they're just good at all phases. So, I mean, hey, man, hitters, pitchers, I need you all to play well. And we're going down to Starkville. So, you know, again, chop that game up the way we were supposed to. We talked about that. Hey, man, continue to go in there, get your three or six outs in the midweek. We've kind of talked about that's the way it's going to look, the worst, the way out. You know, it's not going to be any different. So, obviously, we'll open up with somebody different with rushing, throwing the three innings on Sunday. We'll figure that part out, you know, get off to a good start, and then kind of chop it up how we need to. But there's, again, there's some guys getting opportunities in these midweek games. That's kind of where Brady McAbee emerged, right? You look up after the Ole Miss game and go, man, I got to figure out how to get the bat in the lineup. I know Jimmy's hurt and he's got a DH, but and Cassie's behind the plate, but man, we just got to figure it out. And all of a sudden you look up and now McAbee's hitting the three hole, right? And so these are the opportunities I need these guys to do a good job of focusing on. Like, hey, man, yeah, it's going to be a great environment going down to Starkville. It's the Taj Mahal of all ballparks, right? The whole deal. But, hey, let's go play good baseball and take advantage of the opportunities that you get and get in there and get after it.
So on Tuesday, that's the state game?
Yes.
Night game, correct?
Yes.
So you'll just bust down the day?
We'll bust down during the day, and we'll bust back. We tried to move the game to Wednesday, where maybe we could stay in Starkville Wednesday night.
That's what I was wondering.
Go to Birmingham.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't work out, so it is what it is. We'll bust over, bust back, and we'll take it easy on Wednesday and head over to Birmingham.
You'll head over on Thursday.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. We'll do a normal trip.
Okay. All right, let's talk about your hitter and pitcher of the week.
Yeah, great question.
A lot of choices.
Man, it's nice to have some choices.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Hey, man, not win by default anymore. Let's win by who actually earned it. Hitter of the week, I'm going to go, there was a lot of really, you know, good at bats. I think of Jack Pitts, what he was able to do. I know it wasn't the amount of at bats, right, but he hits the home run there on Tuesday to get us going against Valley in the first inning when he gets this opportunity to start. He doesn't get it but till Sunday to get his opportunity. He has a couple of good at-bats for us. But when you look holistically over the entire week, I got to go Michael Gupton. He's done a really good job of just continuing to set the table. Had a good night there on Tuesday. Had a big swing there on Friday and another big swing there on Sunday. So I think he ended up hitting three home runs on the weekend. Had a big double on the backside and a big moment too. So I'll go Michael Gupton's our hit of the week. And pitcher of the week, I got to go Logan Rushing, man.
Good for him.
Yeah, two wins on the week, six innings. I think it was a couple hits, maybe two or three hits, eight or nine strikeouts. I don't think he walked a guy, to be honest with you. And yesterday, Rice was battling there late, man. And they fouled off, you know, several pitches late. So he just kept pumping in there and allowing his defense to do the work that we needed to do and gets the win yesterday against Rice. So I'm going to go Logan Rushing, two wins on the week, two outings in the week. Fantastic week for him.
All right, before we wrap it up, I understand the limited amount of resources baseball gets as far as NIL and things of that nature. But, man, I tell you, you've hit some home runs, you and your staff, with the portal.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, even last year wasn't a great year, but, like, some of the guys you got out of the portal. Yeah. But this year I'm looking at the guy you talked about, Gupton, and some of these other guys that you got, McAbee.
Yeah, we've done a good job. You know, look, for me, Memphis has a unique profile. Right. And I say that in the fact of it attracts from all over the country and all different walks of the earth. Right. And so we need to use that as an opportunity. And so it allows us to get in some doors maybe we wouldn't. It allows us to have real conversations. It allows us to find more of the identity of what we want from a blue collar standpoint, too. And so, hey, man, if you have If you have the stigma of Memphis and whatever the national media is telling you, you're not tough enough to be here. You need to be in the gritty city, man. You need to be a part of this. You need to know that we're investing in it as a baseball program as well. So if you can't wholeheartedly take that in this day and age and take the pride in the logo that's getting this opportunity, we don't need you here. And so I think that's what we've done a good job of finding the Michael Guptons of the world, who's a fantastic young man, fantastic human being, Christian man, who lives by his faith and goes out there and plays with all his heart for the city of Memphis and for the university. And you're talking about a guy who's been here for 1 year, been at four different schools in 4 years. But he's in an environment that I think he's thriving in because of who he has around him and very like-minded set of people who are competitors, who want to win, who can handle adversity. We've gone through a lot of, obviously, this year. We still got a long ways to go. We still got a whole another month to go. But I think the fact that we have that profile that we're selling, I think is helping us get those guys, the right guys, out of the portal, because you can see what happens when you get the wrong guys. When you get the wrong guys,
sets you back.
It does. It sets you way back. And so we've been able to have some success there in the portal. In the same sense is that's not where we want to shop everything. I told everybody from the get-go, recruiting-wise, I don't want a bowl full of cherries. The cherries are the portal, right? We need to do a good job of establishing some consistency. And so when you see guys like Jack Pitts, those are the guys where you're going to pull for the next. Hey, man, who's going to be your next guy that can do what Michael Guptan did? Well, it's going to be Jack Pitts. He's going to be ready to rock and roll and swing with that kind of power. You've seen that this year. You've seen more development as he's gone along. Now we found a new position for him. He can be in a little more consistently. Those are the type of things we got to continue to formulate. The Gabe Boyds of the world who are watching Freddie Rodriguez need him to go step in and be the guy for us next year after Freddie Rodriguez and just, again, continue to get the right unique profile that I think fits Memphis and fits who we are.
Yeah, at least baseball is more of a retention rate.
Yeah.
Like basketball and a couple of the other sports. Matt, thank you. Appreciate that. He is Matt Reiser, the head coach of the Memphis Tigers. He's with us each and every Monday during the Tiger baseball season. Brought to you by Landers Nissan and Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, both in South Haven, Mississippi. Another great sponsor. And they have a place in South Haven. Actually, it's an Olive Branch, but it's close. Corky's Ribs and Barbecue with four locations in the greater Memphis area. As I mentioned, in Olive Branch on Goodman Road, Germantown Parkway in Cordova, Poplar Avenue in Collierville, and Poplar Avenue in East Memphis. If you're looking for that delicious slow-smoke barbecue, it's Corky's, and they will cater any event you got coming up. You got a big event, they could take care of it. It doesn't matter how big. They've been catering for 40 years. That's how long they've been in existence. They'll start you out as low as $7.99 per person. They got lunch specials every single day. Party packs that start at just $7.49. Make sure you add a third of a rack of ribs for just $7.99 when you purchase your entree at lunch or dinner. Maybe go with their award-winning catfish plate. Maybe some ribs, or you're not going to go ribs, but you might go pulled pork and then ribs as well. But go outside the barbecue family with the award-winning catfish plate, the tamales, the burgers. They got excellent salads as well. Great desserts. It's Corky's. Corky's Ribs and Barbecue. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. 56 Mornings.
Morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Everyone, 9:28 is the time. Open lines. If you'd like to hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines, you can call in or text in at 901-360-8255. We've been busy talking NBA playoffs. We've been talking a lot about the portal as well, and NFL with the draft coming up this week. Trades are happening. Other trades are rumored to be happening. Major League Baseball over the weekend. The Mets lose again. The Mets... I don't know what the hell's going on with the Mets, but they are on a 11-game losing streak. They lost to the Cubs Sunday. Your Cubbies in 10, 2-1. And they got to be getting real antsy, real anxious right now in New York as the fan base is not real. they're not real patient. Let's just put it that way.
It's when you're spending the amount of money that they are spending, generally they don't take kindly to 11-game losing streaks.
How does that happen if you're the Mets? I mean, 11-game losing streak? I don't even get it. I mean, guys aren't they don't have like a bunch of rash of injuries, do they? I mean, everybody's banged up.
Well, I mean, Soto is the biggest one, but I mean, right. they don't have a. There's not a ton of guys that are hurt. No, but they have obviously key injuries, but. But
not bringing back Polar Bear. The Polar Bear was
11 game losing streak. I mean,
no, it's crazy.
They should have won yesterday. The Cubs able to score in the ninth and then win it in the 10th. But it's, I can't imagine that's going over very well in New York at all. And again, when you're spending whatever, I don't know what theirs is now, $300 million on that roster to do that, that's not good.
No, and. The Polar Bear, letting him go, it was his decision. He walked and went to Baltimore. I mean, that's a big loss. You look back and go, but they still went out there and they brought in some other dudes. Yeah, Soto, you got to have Soto in the lineup. But they're 7-15, for goodness sakes, with that 11-game losing streak. They're at the bottom of the National League East. By the way, the Braves, the complete opposite record. Braves had a terrible year last year. It looks like that the bad run was short-lived because they're 15-7. Playing really good baseball. The Phillies continue to struggle at 8-13, so they're just a little bit ahead of the Mets. I don't know what's going on with the Phillies. I've been watching them play, and they're not hitting the ball. The guys you need to hit the ball are not hitting the ball, and they got a lot of guys in that lineup, so I don't know what's happening there. It's a little topsy-turvy, that National League East. Other than the Braves, I expected the Braves to be in the top three, but the Marlins and the Nationals both being ahead of the Phillies and the Mets is a surprise. The National League Central, every team is 3 games over .500 or better. The Reds are 14-8. The Cardinals are 13-8, just swept the Astros in Houston. The Pirates are 13-9. Your Cubs have finally gotten it together. They're 12-9. The Brewers had that little bad spell. They're 12-9.
Yeah, I was not expecting all of those teams being above 500. That I certainly didn't expect the Cardinals to be where they are right now, and didn't expect the Reds to be up there either. I bought into the Pirates. I do think that's a good Pirates team. The Cubs, it was nice to see them put together this winning streak again with the pitching issues that they have because of injuries. It's not easy, but they've been getting some good performances and some timely hitting. And it helps when you play the Mets, because the Mets can't win games.
Yep. American League Yankees continue to set the pace in the East, but here come the Rays. They're always there. I always count them out, but they're always somehow there. And they're just a half a game behind, one game in the win column. Yankees don't have Gerrit Cole back yet, but he did have his first rehab start. He's got a couple of more, according to Aaron Boone, and then they'll be able to get Cole, and that's going to help the Yankees, but Aaron Judge, you got off to the slow start and now has been on a torrid streak. The Orioles are 10-12, and then the Bo Sox, again, they 8-13, certainly below expectations. And the Blue Jays, who were there last year, had the opportunity, were in the World Series, and I expected big things from the Blue Jays. They're 8-13. They have been really hit hard by the injury bug.
The Mets, by the way, with this losing streak, that's a big part of it. It's the fastest they've reached 15 losses since 1983.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Francisco Lindor said, it's going to get loud. It's going to get very loud because they're going home now with this. They're back at home. I don't know if it starts today or tomorrow. But, yeah, I would say it will be very loud. And it won't be a pleasant loud.
You know, I'm looking at the Cardinals and their sweep of the Astros. They won in 10, 7-5. The Astros, I knew it was gonna, the one thing I got right, I think, is that I said it was going to be a down year for the Astros. They're 8-15, bottom of the American League West. But the Cardinals continue to find ways to win games, and I'm looking now at their current. This was all the guys that played yesterday. I'm just going to read off batting averages. 237, 200. 209, 194, 222, 208, 214, 226, 125, 209. Now, three guys that are actually hitting well. One is Fermin, who is basically a backup guy, pinch hitter, 278. You got Burleson at 280 and Walker at 305. They're the ones setting the pace. I mean, J.J. Weatherholt, the rookie, is 237, and Victor Scott is 226. Gorman's 209, and Mason Wynn, who had the big bases clearing double, he's hitting 222. So really, two guys that are actually hitting pretty well. The rest are not, but they're getting clutch hits. And the pitching has done pretty well, better than I thought it would. They got a couple of guys, certainly, that you know from their time with the Redbirds. They're a surprise. To me, the Cardinals are a surprise. I thought the Cardinals would be either dead last or second to last team in the NL Central. And there's still plenty of time. We're only 21 games into the season. But they have been a very pleasant surprise. Of course, we've got a lot of Cardinals fans around this area. But in the American League, Yankees, but Rays right on their tail. The Guardians have finally got it together in the American League Central, and the Tigers have. They both got off the slow starts. Most people believe that's a two-team race. Guardians 13-10, Tigers 12-10. Got the Twins at 11-11, and then the White Sox 8-14, Royals 7-15. I guess the Royals are a big disappointment because they got some players. White Sox don't.
Yeah, the Bobby Witt Jr. I think's only got like one home run right now for the Royals. He's off to a little bit of a slow start. They got some guys like Perez is hitting like 150, something like that.
And did you see how mad he got the other day because they didn't put him in the starting lineup?
They've got Cubs have a couple of guys in their starting lineup and making a whole bunch of money, like Dansby Swanson, who's well below the 200 mark right now. So there's some guys out there getting off to some slow starts. Now the problem with like the Cubs, I swear, like every game they've played this year has been in like freezing temperatures. It feels like they've just, the way their schedules worked out, they've either been at home or they were in Cleveland, they're in Philadelphia. Like it's just, they've been constantly playing in cold weather, which certainly does not help for some of these offensive guys.
No, but they're now at least treading water after the slow start. Once the weather turns warm, maybe the bats turn warm for the Cubs. I would expect that to happen. And finally, in the AL West, which is just a hodgepodge. You got the A's and the Rangers, both 11-11. The Angels at 11-12. As long as Mike Trout plays, they got a chance. Mariners still struggling a bit, but they're up to 10-13. And then the Astros. Like I said, I thought it was going to be a rough year for the Astros, and it is rough. 8-15. Seems like it's ages ago when they were banging on trash can lids. Or trash cans, was it? Trash cans or trash can lids, whatever the hell it was, whatever they were doing. College basketball, more news from the portal. Duke big man Patrick Gangba returning to the Blue Devils, the school announces. Honorable mention, all ACC selection. Huge news for Duke. Connecticut got the news over the weekend that the kid's coming back, the sharpshooter. And they got a couple of other guys coming back. We talked about, who was it, Demery? Mm-hmm. He's coming back. You can pay these guys. They understand that this draft is so deep. Why leave now? While they could have been both first-round picks, you go back, you have a chance to win a natty, and you are paid handsomely. This never would have happened before. I mean, you had guys that weren't even considered to be in the first round. They wanted to get out of college so bad. Guys that weren't even considered to be in the draftable guys that left. Now it's like, wait a minute, man. If I'm not top 10, I can go back, get paid this amount of money, and have a chance to, and I had fun doing so. And I don't know, they don't go to classes anymore, right? College?
Most stuff is done online.
Okay. Yeah. I know. I mean, just it's a joke. So why not go back? And so you're seeing the rich get richer again. The Connecticuts, the Dukes, all these teams are getting their players back.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for college basketball that you're able to hold on to some of these guys that, yes, would have certainly left in years past. It's really nice for the big-time programs who can afford to keep those types of guys in their program. Some of the other programs, it's not as so much fun because you can't afford to pay them and they leave and go somewhere else. Even though they stay in college, they go somewhere else to do it. But you could bet right now that UConn, Duke, I mean, there's the reason they're there every single year.
If you missed it over the weekend, we talked about this in hour number one of the program. For the Tigers fans out there that were hoping Memphis would land one of the guys, whether it be Haggerty or Wagner or Brumball, it did not happen. Haggerty, of course, that news is old news. He went to Texas A&M. But you had news over the weekend with DJ Wagner picking Maryland and Rowan Brumball heading to SMU. Again, was it simply not enough money? Or was it, okay, the money was close, but we want to play in a power conference? Wagner continued to play in a power conference. Brumball go into a power conference. Of course, he started at Georgetown, but he made his name at Tulane. So Memphis, I don't know if you say, I say striking out is harsh, because again, you're trying to play the game with one arm tied behind your back.
Well, yeah, if you're calling it a strikeout, you basically stepped in the box with an 0-2 count.
Right.
I mean, you're just
right.
When you look at SMU and Texas A&M especially, I mean, these are two of the richest alumni bases there is. I mean, that oil money still spends real well down there in Texas. And so when you're talking about programs like that, yeah, I mean, again, they, you know, especially at Texas A&M, they're spending the overwhelming amount of the money on football, but there still is lots of money to go around at a place like that, because they have an endless supply of it.
So Memphis, according to Jason Munns, looks like they're going to bring in Cornelius Williams, who's out of North Alabama. They're taking a look at the possibility of setting something up with Elijah Strong. There's some other names that we've heard over the last 3-4 days reported by either Jason or others, including guys like Josh Holloway, again, who's the Memphian, a guy by the name of Jeremiah Johnson. And we'll see. The Aaron Bradshaw scenario may still be in play for Memphis, as we talked about. Tomorrow is the deadline. Tomorrow is the 21st, so it's the deadline to go into the portal. Doesn't mean you have to have the guy signed by tomorrow, but to go into the portal, you have until tomorrow. Also, trying to think if there was any other of the big names. You know, Fleming's, of course, announcing that he'll be headed to the draft. That's not a surprise. And again, with the Grizzlies, we will know something hopefully today about where they will pick in the teens, either 16 or 17, to go along with their lottery pick, which we will not know until May 10th, where they will pick. They have the sixth best odds to move up and to get the one number one, but it's still not great odds to move up. You're hoping that you can. And then Memphis will also have the 32nd overall pick. So three picks right now for the Grizzlies, and we know that can go any way. It could be packaged. There could be all three could be taken. A lot of things that Kleiman could do. A lot of things that are still needed to be solidified before the draft. And you know what? With the thing with John Morant, they may go beyond the draft before anything happens with him. More than likely it will.
Oh, yeah. I would not expect the job move to happen until the new league year starts. After the draft, after July 1st, all that stuff, I would think that it's more likely that that's going to happen there. Yet I think that they do that the tiebreaker drawing today, and with Phoenix, Orlando, and Philadelphia all having the same record, they've got to determine that order between those three, and the Grizzlies will get the better of the Phoenix and Orlando picks. Whichever one ends up getting the better pick, that one will go to the Grizzlies.
And that'll be 16 or 17. We know it can't be 18.
Correct, yeah, because they did a three-way thing. If one of them's got to be at 17. Even if Philadelphia gets the 16, then one of those two's got to be at 17. So they would get that pick at the very worst if Philadelphia ends up winning that whole tiebreaker and gets the first of those three picks. Then it'll be, they'll get that. So, yeah, so either 16 or 17. We know the Indiana pick is number 32. And then the Grizzly, the lottery pick could either be 1 through 4 or 6 through 10. anywhere in there, depending on what happens in the lottery. Fleet Feet, that's the place to go to get all your running gear. Mentioned earlier the Boston Marathon today happening. Of course, there's always races and various things going on around town, from 5Ks and other things that folks are involved with. If you like to get out there, run, walk, exercise, any kind, you need to make a stop at Fleet Feet first. You can do that either in East Memphis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center or out in Collierville, Poplar and Houston Levee there, right next to the Hueys. That's where you'll find the two locations of Fleet Feet. You can also find them online, fleetfeetmemphis.com, or on social media, where they keep you up to date with what is going on in the running community, things they've got going on, and things that you can get involved with them at Fleet Feet. Again, two locations, East Memphis, Laurelwood Shopping Center, out in Collierville at Poplar and Houston Levee, next door to the Hueys, and online at fleetfeetmemphis.com. Go by it. See the great folks at Fleet Feet.
This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
We don't talk a ton of Stanley Cup playoffs on the show, but the Stanley Cup playoffs are underway, action over the weekend, and there's nothing like NHL playoff action when you got an overtime game, a series decider. The series are just underway, but that action's only going to heat up. But there was an interesting note from yesterday. There were four games, some good ones, including that Canadiens comeback win over the Lightning in overtime to take a 1-0 lead in their series. But the Buffalo Sabres, I don't know how long it's been since they have been in the postseason, and they qualified for the playoffs this year. And game one, they're playing the Boston Bruins, perennial playoff team. They scored four third-period goals, the Sabres did, to win that game 4-3 in front of a crowd that was just craving for something good to happen, long time in the making, you know, ballistic before the game, going nuts. And then, of course, once they fell behind, they're wondering, okay, maybe we're not going to do too well. And then all of a sudden, again, they're down 2-0. Then it's 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 4-2, and Boston scores one with 8 seconds to go to make it 4-3. That was your final. It's only one game of the series, but I like it, especially when it's a city that has only the one team. They used to have an NBA team, the Buffalo Braves. Oh, they have the NFL. What am I thinking? Yeah. But still, it's not a four-team or even more city. This isn't New York City. This isn't Chicago. This isn't Los Angeles. Yeah, they love their Bills, but they love their Sabres, and it's been a long time in the making. So I kind of like when it's somebody that hasn't been there.
Don't know if you know this or not, but the Buffalo fans are a little starved for a championship.
They are. They are. They took their beating with the Bills. At least they got there, some would say. At least they got there. But, yeah, they are starved. My Flyers beat the Sabres in, I think it was 74-75 or 73-74. I remember that very, very well. But that's what's going on in the Stanley Cup playoffs, in the NBA playoffs. It is three games on the docket tonight. All three game twos, since we had all eight series in the first round taking place over the weekend. The Raptors at the Cavaliers, the Hawks at the Knicks, the Timberwolves at the Nuggets. That Timberwolves-Nuggets game is the, I think, marquee. I'm not sure it's going to be the best game of the night. It may be, but I think it's the marquee game. And unfortunately, it's a 9:30 tip-off. So I get the halftime, unless it's really, really, really close. And I'll sacrifice a little sleep. I'll go to bed.
I know I won't make it. I'll have it on replay.
And 9:30 really means probably about 9:45, right, is what it actually will take.
That's true. It's rough for us getting up so early. Then we get up early and we go, oh, they ended up winning the game. And then we do our homework and we learn about the game. But, yeah, the Cavaliers up 1-0. The Knicks up 1-0. The Nuggets up 1-0. Seven of the eight home teams won their first game. But for the visiting teams, you know, it's all about, you know, get one. If you can get that second game. So that puts a little more pressure on Toronto, on the Hawks.
and on the Timberwolves, although some would say, what, the playoffs don't start until a road team wins a game? Is that what it says? Is that the old saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you're supposed to win at home. These home teams are supposed to go up 2-0, but stranger things have happened. Again, the Knicks and the Hawks, as long as Cat is playing like that, you know Brunson is going to give it to you. I think they're going to be hard to beat. But the Timberwolves, Gobert played really well in that first game. Mm-hmm. And they still lost. You know, Edwards did his thing. I don't know what it's going to take. I still think that's going to be a good series. I forget we did our predictions on Friday, Jay Ham. I think I said, did I say six?
Both of us went six.
Yeah.
Nuggets and six.
By the way, how wrong were we on our play-in predictions from Friday?
When Ed Run for Orlando went to like 17-0 in the first quarter. Well, that's a wrap for that one.
All I thought of after night was J.M. and I were so off. Glad I didn't bet any of them.
You should have known it wouldn't work out for the Grizzlies.
Oh, no. I mean,
right, you're right.
Why would you possibly
He's
not?
He's right.
Like, you just knew that it would go the wrong way for the Grizzlies.
I didn't even try to factor that part of it in. I was thinking, okay, these teams that lost the other night, that's not good rhythm coming back after a loss, but they were at home too, so.
I still don't get why they don't do like a seance, burn sage, get Chief Chickasaw, whatever, with the guy's name. Get something over there to change the juju that's going on. I mean, come on, they got to see that too, right? It's not just us. Have some good luck. He's exactly right.
He's 100% right.
That's what we should have done, taking the other two, taking Phoenix and taking Orlando, parlayed the damn thing.
We didn't think that our optimism would come into play in that manner.
And we were so sure of ourselves that at least one of them was losing. But we both had Phoenix and Orlando losing.
I still feel safe. Not betting against Steph Curry in one game scenarios. It's just we lost that.
Right,
one.
I thought Charlotte would beat Orlando. I didn't.
So did I.
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah, I thought Charlotte. That would really surprise, especially the way it would happen. Like that one. Like, I don't think Golden State's that good. I don't trust them. But I thought Charlotte 100% was going to beat Orlando, because it just kind of felt like there was a lot of stuff out there about Orlando, like with Mosley, and the people are talking about Bankero's not this and all that. It just felt like there was a lot of stuff around them that it felt like that, and the way Charlotte's played at the end of the year, I thought for sure Charlotte would take care of business. But that would shock me.
Well, people are now saying that this is the Orlando team that they had expected to see all season long. I mean, it's two games now. It was that play-in game against Charlotte. And now it was game one with the upset of Detroit. Look, I know they're down and they lost at home, but are the Pistons in trouble?
Not yet.
I don't think they're in trouble. I think they'll still come back and win, but it's a new world, man. It's a different game when you get the postseason, and you gotta, you know, when you haven't been there and done that, it's just you gotta figure it out.
It's revved up so much. It's the guys are just busting each other. I mean, physical as hell. And then if you're not ready for it, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on? This isn't what I experienced the last 2 months.
That's why I always like to refer to it, that first Monday after the game one, natural overreactions, because we're all going to overreact to what we saw. Some reasonable.
Sure.
Some will be reasonable, but some is just like, hey, man, it's game one.
But every dude that was and missed games, but it was like kind of suspect injury or it was a bruise or, you know, they're all playing. Guys who had like a serious injury, like Reeves is out for the year. He's not coming back to play in the playoffs. Now the question mark would be, can Embiid come back from the appendectomy?
The appendectomy.
And then Doncic, and he went over to, was it Spain? Where'd he go? Switzerland? Where the hell he go?
I think he went to Spain.
He went to Spain to get treatment. I don't know. If he can come back, he's coming back. But all the rest of the guys who had like bumps and bruises and this and that, a little bit of a sprain here or a tweak here, they're all playing because they know what's on the line now. And everybody revs up their game. And if you're not ready to rev up your game, which seemed like Detroit, maybe that inexperience really was a big difference maker for them.
You're slipping in game one. Now you're down in the hole.
But now you've learned. You better be ready for game two, get the series even. Big East Commissioner Val Ackerman is retiring after 13 years. So Val Ackerman retiring, that's a good job, that Big East job, especially with what's been going on with basketball, some of the dominance with UConn and company, And they'll have some good candidates, I'm sure, for that job. Speaking of basketball, you know by now to take your basketball skills to the next level at Shoot 360 Memphis, a revolutionary basketball training facility that combines cutting-edge technology with gamification and provides instant objective feedback with hands-on one-on-one expert coaching. You're looking for a nice graduation gift for somebody in your family, a loved one that plays the game of basketball. This is perfect for you. Membership to Shoot 360 Memphis, or whether it be a birthday gift or any kind of Christmas gift, you know, which is a ways away. But the point is that this makes for a great gift for a basketball player or players in your family. And you can do so on a monthly membership. I always say, try it out for a month. If you don't like it, okay, you're in for a month. That's it. No harm, no foul. But I'm telling you, you're going to fall in love with it. You're going to want to go for many, many months to come, because you get inside one of those shooting bays with the Shoot 360 technology. There's nothing like it. You get the instant feedback, the analytics. You'll know about your depth and your arc and all the things you need to know to become a better shooter. And then you get the coaching, the one-on-one expert coaching from coaches that have been at every single level. Two locations, the original 85 Market Street in Collierville. You can call them at 901-316-5500. Or Big Orange Road in Cordova. That's the 50,000 square foot facility. That number is 901-779-3176. The future of basketball training is here at Shoot 360 Memphis. That's going to do it for us today. I want to thank Matt Reiser for joining us on the program. Tomorrow we're back starting at 7 a.m. Connor O'Gara will join us. We'll talk Tiger football with Frank Bonner, Mickey Barker on golf, and Humdinger's trivia. That's all coming your way tomorrow. Well done, friends, on Sports 56 is coming up next. For Eli Savoy and for Jay Hamm, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great day, everybody.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.